And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. To any Kansas City Chiefs fan, the recent firing of Todd Haley doesn't exactly come as a surprise. In fact, to some, it comes as a delight. And then the question, as always, in the sports world becomes, what now? Joining us live is Metro Sports reporter Brad Porter, who is here to talk about the what now culture of sports reporting and his thoughts on how sports reporting is changing in the 15 years thence and the 15 years hence that Metro Sports has been on the air. Brad Porter, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you very much. And I got to tell you what, I admire your ability to pivot from discussing projection use during the production of A Christmas Carol to sports. That's a pretty special talent.
We got it like that here on Central Standard. Brad, let's start off with the hottest topic in these parts, the firing of Todd Haley. The old beat reporting Wolfpack is hot for this, and such an event also makes national news as well. How are you covering it differently over at Metro Sports?
I tell you what, I feel like we've been through too many of these what next things for the teams, and, and that's what happens when you don't win. And I never like to see, I never relish someone losing their job, but that's what happens when you're not producing and not winning. And so what's now is the search, and there's a couple of different schools or philosophies as to whether or not the general manager, Scott Pioli, would go kind of lean towards his insiders, people he knows well, like a Josh McDaniels, who goes back to his days in New England, did not succeed in Denver as a head coach, and is now an assistant with the St. Louis Rams. Would he stay inside like that? Would he keep his current defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel,
right?
Absolutely, who also goes back to the New England days, did not have a lot of success when he was the head coach in Cleveland, but you know, Bill Belichick didn't have a lot of success in Cleveland either, and then he went on to win a ton of Super Bowls in New England. So that's the inside track, or he could go outside of his comfort zone and maybe look for a veteran, a proven winner like a Bill Cowher, who's been in network television for a handful of years now after being so successful with the Steelers. He has ties to Kansas City, was an assistant on Marty Schottenheimer's staff for 3 years before he started quickly moving up the ranks of the NFL. There's John Gruden, who's also currently...
Chucky!
I know that name's been floated out there. He just signed a major long-term contract, though, to remain with Monday Night Football. Those guys always have outs, though. If they get a job they want, they can get out of it. I don't know if he fits this situation well. You can also... A guy that I'd certainly be interested in at least talking to is Greg Williams, who's the current defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints. He's a Kansas City guy. Went to Excelsior Springs High School. He comes back every summer, puts on a huge golf tournament and an auction to raise money for the school, not just athletics, but the entire school program. And he's always been very loyal to people around here who helped him get to where he is today.
Now, Brad, as a reporter, not to interrupt you, as a reporter, you mentioned Mr. Williams. If you're hot on him, if you think he's a dark horse candidate, and all the other talking heads are talking about Gruden, they're talking about Romeo Crennel and whether or not he'll do a good job. They're talking about Bill Cowher and all these other faces in the crowd, so to speak. If you have a hunch about Williams, if he's a Kansas City guy, do you go out and interview him and try to get that new angle? You've been with Metro Sports since it launched in December 12th, 1996. So you have a sense of the community and you have a sense of this guy. Do you give him a call?
I think he's got to be on your short list. He has. If you know, the qualification is head coaching experience, he's done that with the Buffalo Bills. They did not have a ton of success, but it wasn't, you know, he didn't go 2-27. So he had the experience. He's been a coordinator when the Saints won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So he's had success. He's had head coaching experience. He's from here, and it's just a matter of whether or not you can match personalities with the general manager, which a lot of people believe was a problem with Scott Pioli and Todd Haley, was a personality conflict. They just didn't fit very well together.
And, of course, personalities are a staple of sports and sports coverage, speaking of which, Kansas City sports fans are loyal to the end, but also pretty impatient, like most sports fans in hard-scrabble Midwestern cities. How do you take yourself, Brad Porter, out of the story to cover it objectively rather than subjectively when you're like, oh, God, another firing? how do you do that?
I don't know if you can be completely objective. You know, a lot of reporters in Kansas City, particularly in the sports side, are from Kansas City. We all grew up fans of the Chiefs and the Royals, and we want to see them do well. I think, you know, several years ago, I think there was a thought that existed, in particular with professional teams, from people who are no longer there, but there was a thought that the media was against them all the time and was always looking for something negative and always looking for the bad side to focus on. I just don't think that's true. So many of us want to see our teams do well. I got into this business because I wanted a free ticket to the World Series, you know, or a trip to the Super Bowl. I want to see our teams do well, and so I think that makes us better at what we do. We're more interested. We have a stake in it, and you know, I take it personally too because I live in Kansas City and I live in Jackson County, and I'm one of the guys that voted to support the stadiums and the refurbishments at Kauffman Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium, and I'd like to see a return on that investment, you know, as a taxpayer and as well as a reporter. So I think it makes us better. It makes us go after the story a little bit harder, perhaps.
Is that what separates your sports coverage from regular quote-unquote hard news coverage, that you do have a stake in the community, you do have a stake in the story, you do know the story since before you became a reporter?
I think absolutely, and particularly in the case of Metro Sports and Time Warner Cable, our team, all we do is sports. We don't have to battle the weather department who wants to talk about the rain. And not those are bad things. It's just a different approach. We don't have to battle the news stories when they've got, you know, their things that they have to cover. We're all sports. And when I look around the newsroom, we have Dave Stewart, who went to Shawnee Mission South and K-State, and Leif Lysak, who went to Park Hill and KU, and Mick Schaefer went to KU. Kenitra Williams went to Texas, and she's a Big 12 person. And Chris Goff went to Belton High School in Mizzou. We're all from here, and I went to Rockhurst High School and UMKC, and so we're all from here. We all have a stake in it, and we all have a passion for it. When I walk in every day, I'm inspired by the fact that, you know, everybody's has the same passion that I do and the love for what they're doing that I do, and it's a great team atmosphere in the setting that we have.
Tell us about Metro Sports. You cover NCAA men's basketball, Final Four, Big 12 basketball championships, Chiefs, Royals, Wizards, who are now sporting KC, as well as major colleges and high schools. Tell us about Metro Sports, 15 years in the game, for listeners who may not be familiar or just don't watch it because they're not into sports. Tell us about Metro Sports.
Sure. When they started 15 years ago, it was a building on a channel that American Cablevision had at the time, which it was a public access channel. They would show various types of community programs, and one of the things they did was a high school football game every Friday night. And some people got together and thought, you know, why don't we turn this into a whole channel about local sports and really build on the focus on high school initially and branch into other things. And so that's kind of how it started 15 years ago. And we were known for high school football was the big thing. And then we extended that into a show about high school football. And it just kept building and building and building over the 15 years to where we have, you know, parts of just about everything you can think of. And the evolution that I like also is on the technical side. This past summer, we debuted our high-definition production truck, which in the television business is key. You got to have that. So when you go out and shoot a high school football game or, you know, a college, we do a lot of college sports as well. The University of Missouri, we carry their basketball games, and we roll out the high-definition truck, and our studio has been converted to high-definition, and this week we're debuting our new-look studios, another evolution of it. And I really like to see that from our team, and those guys work so hard to get it done so that we could have that. And it's a great thing.
Brad, do you ever hop out of the truck and just stand there? Like, I'm standing in front of a high-definition truck. Do you ever do that?
I go inside because, I tell you what, the guys that built it, and Curtis Lorenz was a big – he's been there since day one. He goes back further than I did before the channel even started. And kind of helped, he directed him and Randy Hampton kind of put those things together this summer. And they're so talented. I mean, when you look on the website and you turn on our channel, what you're going to see is myself and Leif and Dave and Mick and our whole team and Kenitra and Chris and on and on and on. But what you don't see is the guys that work so hard to get that stuff ready so that we can have nice things, like your parents used to say, so that we can have the good-looking stuff and make great television. Those guys work so hard, and they're not out there, but we appreciate what they do.
Now, how does this network? It's very hyper-local. It started with a local angle. It started with a local focus. How does this network then, on the same cable system as the Giants, ESPN, and the Fox regional news machines, how do you then get people who could watch Todd Haley's coverage on ESPN or Todd Haley's coverage on Fox Regional News? How do you get them to differentiate you from them, as well as newspaper columnists and blogs?
Well,
what do you do?
Well, I would tell if people are not familiar with Metro Sports and Time Warner Cable that want to want to sample it, this is what I would tell you to do is, and you don't have to get into this much detail, but if you take out a stopwatch and flip on ESPN or flip on a local channel and see how much time they devote to Kansas City sports. I'll bet it's on a Sunday, on an NFL Sunday, maybe it's 45 seconds in an hour. They're going to give you three or four quick highlights. They're going to talk about it for a minute. Then they're going to move on because they have to cater to New York, L.A., Chicago, Texas, and Florida, and those sorts of places. Whereas if you flip on our channel, that's all we're talking about. We did a one-hour show yesterday. We carried the Todd Haley news conference from start to finish, which ESPN is not going to do unless they have the time, but in most cases they're not going to do that. And then not only that, we're going to have former players like Richard Baldinger and Dana Hughes come on the show and analyze what happened. Why did Todd Haley get fired? Was this the right time to fire Todd Haley? Who's next in line? And we're going to do those sorts of things that other people simply don't have the time to do.
And speaking of which, do you think, in light of the current sports culture, you cover sports from wall to wall, like I mentioned, NCAA men's basketball all the way down to high school. Will coverage of high school and college sports become more popular for its perceived purity as labor contract negotiations, performance-enhancing drug use, work stoppages, and strikes become things that pervade seemingly every major American sport?
Sure. I'm not really sure because I think, in general, sports fans move past those things. I know the National Hockey League in particular, after their strike in, I want to say, 94, 95, mid-90s in there, they had a strike that wiped out a good majority of the season. They never recovered. They lost their big TV contracts. They've been struggling to find a foothold in the sports platform, and then they don't have it. Major League Baseball struggled, still struggling with the steroid and performance-enhancing drugs, but they're doing quite well at the gate and the television ratings. And the angle for high school and college that I particularly like is when I go to the grocery store or go shopping at the mall or take the kids to a movie, I usually have three or four people that stop and say, hey, I saw the highlights of Blue Valley High School the other night, or Blue Springs, or Rockhurst, or Park Hill. I really love that kind of stuff because a lot of the kids and a lot of the adults, either they played high school sports, their neighbor has a kid that plays high school sports, they have grandkids, kids. Everybody knows somebody that plays high school sports. And that's a big part of our community connection because we're at those high schools just about every day of the week working on a story or talking to coaches and things like that. And we're going to do our Hy-Vee shootout this week at Avalo University, and we're going to have, I lost track of how many, I think we're going to have 32 teams. I lost track of the number. I got the schedule, but it's so massive. But we're going to have, a few thousand people come and watch high school sports in one central location this week. And I think it's terrific. We get to see those people and meet their parents, and they're all around for the holidays, and now we've got kids who played on Metro Sports 15 years ago that are coming and bringing their kids to watch different things and kind of, remember what it was like when they were in high school.
Well, what we're going to do now with you, we have Scott Porter, a Metro Sports reporter who's been down with Metro Sports, the Metro Sports local network on Time Warner Cable for about 15 years. What we're going to do now is put you on the clock, and we're going to give you a couple of topics and have you just go 15 seconds or less like you're used to doing.
Okay, first one,
where do Kansas City Chiefs go from here?
Kansas City Chiefs need to start the interview process. Scott Pioli, the GM, said yesterday the most important thing is figuring out how to beat Green Bay this week. I don't agree with that. The next most important thing is to start finding a head coach, calling agents, and finding out who would be interested in coming to coach the Kansas City Chiefs. It's got a great history as an organization. It needs to get back to that level.
Brad Porter, is Charlie Weiss going to get on the road to redemption at KU?
I'm not comfortable with the fact that Charlie Weiss's family is staying behind in Florida and he's going to live here. I think personally, I don't know him personally, but personally for me, that would be a strain to live away from my family for that long a period of time. His health is not great, and I just don't know. I have a lot of question marks surrounding that hire.
Brad Porter, how will the entrance of Mizzou into the Southeastern Conference change the local college sports culture?
Personally for us, it gives us a whole new conference to cover. We have to figure out the landscape of the SEC and figure out we know who the power players are. They're Alabama and LSU and Florida. We have to figure out how Missouri fits into that, and we have to figure out how much coverage of the SEC our audience wants from us. Do they want highlights of every single game, or they just want Mizzou? And that's going to be a growing experience for us and the viewers and the customers.
What do you think about Frank White's firing from the Kansas City Royals after 20 years of service and his disassociating himself from the franchise? How has that been covered over at Metro Sports? What do you think?
Personally, I think it's sad on both sides. I think it's sad that apparently there was a breakdown in the relationship, both on Frank's part and the organization's part. And I think it's sad when you have a guy who's number out on the scoreboard, he's in the team's Hall of Fame, and he's not going to be there. I just it bothers me, and I know there's enough blame that's been put out on both sides, but it bothers me a lot. And I worked with his producer Kevin Shank for a lot of years, and he had a big hand in making me a great reporter. And I'm sad that he's not going to be there as well.
Sporting KC first year Cinderella story, is that a fluke or what?
I don't think it's a fluke. I think the owners came in a few years ago, and Ongoal and Rob Heineman and their group. They didn't know a lot about soccer, but they know how to be. They don't know. They admitted that, but they know who to hire and what to do to make it successful. They got a stadium built when nobody else could get it done. They had to flip to the other side of the state to get it done, and then they spent money on key players like Omar Bravo, who's now going to go back to Mexico. He's not going to be here, but I think they have smart people, and I think it's a great organization.
Yeah, he's going back to Cruz Azul, but you know we'll miss him. Who's got the best shot at high school basketball state championship inside shot?
Wow.
You want to call it here on Central Standard?
You know, I haven't had a lot of time to look at it yet, and I'll know a lot more after the Hy-Vee shootout this week, but I did get a chance to go over to Hogan Prep last week. They won their first state championship last year. Of course, that's where Marcus Denman went to high school, the star player at the University of Missouri now. I went to their practice, and I'm blown away every single year by what those kids do. They're so athletic, and they've got one kid being recruited by Mizzou and Nebraska and UNLV and UMKC and another one that's looking at St. John's. So a lot of talent. Like I don't know a lot yet, but I like Hogan Prep a lot every year.
As we round up here, Brad Porter, if you could predict or plan how Metro Sports might look 15 years from now, you've been down for 15 years already, what does it look like? How will coverage be deployed on multiple media platforms?
You know, if you'd asked me 15 years ago about that, I'd have been completely wrong with based on where we are now, because the advent of social media and the use of Twitter, which we use a lot of, as well as Facebook and other things, it's changed everything we do. And I'll tell you why. Whether it's sports, or whether it's news, or whether it's weather, the first place reporters put their news is on Twitter. They come out of a locker room and they'll put on Todd Haley said A, B, and C. Then they'll go back and write their story for the blog and post it there. Then you go back and write a story that you post on the website or publish in a newspaper or that gets put on the news later that night. It's so instantaneous now, and I've really embraced it. I really like the fast pace of what we do now, and I think the fans like it because, you know, they're sneaking off to the corner of the office and finding out what happened at Chiefs practice
today.
Well,
all right. Well, all right, Brad Porter, we got to cut you short. What's your Twitter handle real quick? What's your Twitter handle?
At Brad K. Porter. It's kind of a mix of sports and jokes about my family.
Okay. Our guest is Metro Sports reporter Brad Porter, who is here to talk about the what now culture of sports reporting and his thoughts on how sports reporting is changing now and 15 years ago and 15 years after this. Thank you for joining us, Brad Porter.
Thank you, sir.
Tune in tomorrow for updates on the work being done in our region's levees with a project coordinator from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Tamika Weatherspoon gave us help today. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Up to date is next with a veterinarian and some animal behavior conversation. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.